I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
I'm a soldier for Christ. That's exactly what the bumpers say. If you don't think like that right now, you're not going to last in the Catholic Church. That's a biblical term. It's used by St. Paul. We are the church militant. We are at war.
That's right.
The culture of life versus the culture of death. And there's two Catholics here. They're going to be soldiers of Christ until we drop dead and the Lord calls us home, because both of us are on duty. Terry, are you on?
I'm on duty, sir. And behind us on the... on the studio here is the chapel. We're having confessions going on for the last several hours. We've got about 80 people here. And I want to mention, we're going to have confessions on Saturday from 11 a.m. to whenever it finishes. I know that you, our listeners, need to go to confession, because I need to go. And Jesse needs to go. So we need to go to confession on a regular basis, and we're going to make it available here at the Sacred Heart Chapel here at the Virgin Most Powerful Chapel. So you can come from 11 a.m.
I thought we could just go to a Protestant church and
Just the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, no, Jess, doesn't work that way. Hey, today's going to be a great show. We're also going to have the gospel, but check this out. We're going to talk about when he was a cardinal, Pope Benedict said Freemasonry is the greatest danger to the church. Wait till you hear what he has to say about that. Also, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, he thanks Pope Benedict for also saying that homosexuality, abortion, inspired by the Antichrist. Straight talk Catholicism. And we're going to talk about the former Pope Benedict, about some complaints of attempts to silence him. He wrote a book that's coming out. It's 1,000 pages long. He's 93 years old. We're going to get into Pope Benedict's mindset of telling it straight on what's going on. And I think it's going to illumine a lot of us. But Jesse, before we do all of that, let's open up our Bibles to the Gospel of John. And brother, preach it, brother.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening.
Amen.
John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
It says, Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. That means that's the Father,
mm-hmm.
first person and second person of the Trinity. And whoever sees me, second person of the Trinity, sees the one who sent me, the first person of the Trinity. We see this interconnection between the Godhead right here. We already see a lot of Trinitarian theology here in the Gospel of John. It says, I came into the world as light so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. So what does that mean? If you're not living in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in darkness. I don't care if you say, well, no, but I got a PhD from Princeton. No, but I'm a Hollywood actor. No, but I'm a senator. No, but I'm a vice president. No, but I'm the king of Saudi Arabia. I don't care who you are or what your bank account says.
Yep.
Oh, I started Microsoft. If you don't have a relationship with the one true God through his son, Jesus Christ, and live in a state of grace, you, my friend, are in darkness. It says here, if anyone hears my word and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. In other words, you'll see a lot of the saints will say, God's attributes are mercy and justice. God would prefer to save us. That's what he means.
Yep.
But he will allow you to receive the consequences of your actions and your decision. But what's God's preference? His will? Salvation? His will is to save us and to make us saints. It says, whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. This is huge right here. Catholic modernists will say, when you say, well, do you got to believe in Jesus to get to heaven? They go, hum and a 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 well, you know, well, you know what? Yes, you do.
Of course.
It's right in the Bible. That's the church. Now, so then the next question, well, Jesse, how's Jesus going to save the good Jew, the good Muslim, the good Buddhist? I don't know. I don't know. It's not my job description or Terry's. We don't know how he's going to save them if he does. We just know how to get to heaven, so we have to pronounce that. Salvation is God's business. Yes. Don't worry about God, how God is going to save the good this and the good that and the good that. That's his business. God can save them through means unknown to us, even outside the sacraments. He can circumvent his law because he's God. But I know how we're saved. We have to believe in Jesus. So don't shy away from these what Dr. Scott Hahn calls these uncomfortable verses of Scripture. Then it says, I know that this is his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
Bottom line is Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Apart from Jesus, there's darkness. Get that message out and make sure that you're part of the chosen few. And how Jesus Christ saves those that are not Catholic, it's his business. I don't know how he's going to do that. I just know that you're only saved in and through him.
That's the point.
Jesus, and in him. That's the only way you're saved. How God does that, it's his business, not mine.
Amen. Bottom line, everybody's saved through the blood of Jesus. There's no other name that we can
other
be
way.
Saved. That's the Bible. Jesse, let's bring Bishop Sheenan. I think he's on his locomotive train here. It's a great topic, persecution. Are we under persecution? Well, when we don't have the sacraments available, I'd say that's a persecution, Jess. Here's what Bishop Sheen said. One great and mysterious fact that is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of our faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Now, why do I bring this one up, Jesse? Let's face it. Some of us are going to have to suffer for the Catholic faith right now in our culture. Like, number one, they don't think that we're essential, religion. In other words, Catholic faith, we can't worship right now in our churches because of the state and also even our bishops saying, no, it's best that you don't. Well, that's a form of persecution because we have a right, even in our country, the First Amendment, the right of worship of God. So that's a form of persecution. So what's that mean? Some of us are going to be, I might even be put into jail, which we've heard people praying in front of abortion clinics because that's not essential to go out and do that. Well, we think it is.
You're not keeping a 6-inch distance.
Yeah, and here's the bottom line. Are we going to obey God or man, Jesse? I know about me. I'm going to obey God. Matter of fact, the story I tell real quick, Jesse, is, again, their persecution up in San Francisco. A friend of mine is a pastor. He has a chapel, Adoration. He left the chapel open, and the city council guy heard about it. He went to my friend, the priest, and said, hey, close that chapel. You can't be doing that right now. My friend, the priest, said, hey, you know what? I work for a boss, and my boss is higher than your boss. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm leaving it open. And the councilman says, well, I'm going to go talk to your bishop about that. Well, thanks be to God, Bishop Cordeleon in San Francisco backed his pastor and kept the chapel open. See, that's the kind of courage we need, because when persecution comes, we're not going to be running. That's my take, Jess.
That's right. Terry, we're going to be talking about Freemasonry.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's been a consistent trajectory of papal condemnations.
That's right.
All the way to Pope John Paul II.
That's right.
All the way to Pope Benedict. A consistent trajectory of condemnations about Freemasonry. It is diabolical, and we're going to show you the evidence. Probably one of the most famous saints that was exposing Freemasonry and warning us about Freemasonry, that the Masons would try to take over the Vatican, was Saint Maximilian Kolbe.
That's right.
And this is a breath of fresh air. Pope Benedict is an old man. He's got 1 foot away from his personal judgment.
That's right.
And it appears, Terry, as if he's at this point tallying all, which is, I'm glad. We need somebody of his intellectual acumen to tell all.
He's
speaking about the way that Freemasonry is the greatest danger to the church, which vindicates what Dr. Taylor Marshall has written in his book on infiltration. And not only him, Terry, but
others
there's been
said.
Other writers that I've chosen to disregard.
Me too, Jess.
I've read their books, Michael Davies and, other people just that would consider themselves traditionalist Catholics. And I'm saying, I don't know about this conspiracy about Freemasons. I read the book, I read the pamphlet, I read the article, and I put it aside. Well, you know what, Terry? They've all been right.
Jesse, let me.
I was wrong.
Yeah, let me jump.
I didn't want to see the obvious because it was too painful out of my love for the church.
Jesse, let me jump in because when I was in the monastery at Marytown in Kenosha, Wisconsin with the Franciscans, St. Maximian Kolbe is the patron who started the Knights of the Immaculata. And that very event that took place in Rome where the Masons were trying to say that they're going to crush the church and that they'll replace it. And so St. Maximian Kolbe started the Knights of the Immaculata. And here's what he said. He said, let's pray for enemies of the church, especially those of the Freemasonry. That's what he said. Now, back in 1978 I was in there? Yeah, 78. Right while I was in the monastery, they said, no, we're going to change that. We're not going to say the Freemasons. We're just going to say the enemies of Holy Church. And I said, wait a minute. I raised my hand. Why can't we say what the saint said? Oh, well, it's for political correctness. Well, Jesse, you know what that did for me when I was in my 20s. When I heard that, I was like, political correctness? That's a bunch of baloney. Let's say what the saint said. Enemies of Holy Church, especially the Freemasonry. So do you think they influenced some people? I think so. That's what I wanted to tell you.
You saw it firsthand.
Firsthand, Jess. And it bothered me. I'll be honest. Hey, when we come back, though, let's get deeper into this 1,000-page book regarding Pope Benedict and Freemasonry and a lot of other topics. As you said, Jesse, he's 93 years old. He's going to meet his maker. And I hope this book is telling everything because we need to know full disclosure, like the McCarrick issue. All these things we still need to have exposed because we want our church to be pure. And the way we get pure is by transparency, and we need that. That's what we're doing here at the Terry and Jesse Show. Full Contact Catholicism. When we come back, we hope to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. Everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I
so
love
much
it.
Out there.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
What Pope Benedict says that Freemasonry is the greatest danger to the Catholic Church. He said this when he was the cardinal.
Yep.
And apparently, He's been, there's a book that's going to be coming out, Terry,
yes,
where it's a tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope it is a tell-all, because in here, he indicts the Freemasons. The Freemasons are members of the secret cult-like, this anti-supernatural philosophical fraternity. It's hostile to the Catholic Church. They were started in 1717 in England. Mm-hmm. It was started by Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you know, they try to pass off some works of charity through the Shriners. But the fact of the matter is, they've always been systemically anti-Catholic. And let's see what Pope Benedict has to say here. Dr. Robert Moynihan, the editor-in-chief of the Catholic Journal inside the Vatican.
Yeah, he's a good friend of ours, Jesse.
Yeah, he's also, by the way, he's also one of the persons who I've read that he said that Annibale Bonini was a Mason.
Yep.
I read it from Dr. Robert Moynihan.
Yep.
Dr. Moynihan had a conversation with Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict XVI, about the greatest danger to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he recounts that Cardinal Ratzinger told him in an interview, quote, "The greatest danger to the church, it is Freemasonry." And these words have special importance in light of Pope Benedict's recent words about, he's used these words recently, quote, "The worldwide dictatorship of seemingly humanistic ideologies that are fostering a fear of the spiritual power of the Antichrist," close quote. So those words by Pope Benedict XVI, who's 93 years old, may indicate that he thinks the Antichrist is here. That's the first thing. It's possible, the way he's talking about Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that the Antichrist pushes what? Humanistic ideologies. Like Freemasonry. Like Marxism. Like communism. Like atheism. Like LGBT. These are all Antichrist human ideologies. Dr. Moynihan, he writes this in his report on his conversation with the Pope. He says, "I recall a conversation that I had with Cardinal Ratzinger before he became the Pope. We were in his apartment not far from St. Anne's Gate. We were discussing his conflict with Cardinal Walter Kasper, another modernist, a modernist German theologian, over the question of the Universal Church and the particular church, which was much in the media at the time. I asked the Cardinal Ratzinger where the greatest danger to the authentic Catholic faith lies. He says, quote, "It is in our own selves, our own sins and weaknesses. Is this what is the greatest danger to the church, or is this something else, something external?" Moynihan continues, he looked at me directly in the eyes, and after a moment's pause, as if he were reflecting, he said, quote, "It is Freemasonry." Dr. Moynihan says, "I'll never forget that conversation. It was a fixed point that brought to a conclusion a long series of questions that concerned me up until that meeting and have concerned me ever since." Terry?
You know, I got to just say this, Mr. Moynihan, the very fact that he's documented all this is really a great blessing for us. He also said,
takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it does. In light of the fact that Pope Benedict XVI, in his recent comments to biographer Peter Sewald, he spoke of the spiritual power of the Antichrist, of which many are afraid, especially when opposing the modern agenda of abortion, homosexuality, and in vitro fertilization. He spoke of a worldwide dictatorship of seemingly humanistic ideologies. He says, today is one of being this is powerful what he just said. Today, one, like us, Jesse, we're being excommunicated by the society if one opposes this dictatorship. But Benedict told Sewald for his new book, and it was published in Germany. In September, it'll be published in English. Modern society is in the middle of formulating an anti-Christian creed, and if one opposes it, one is being punished by the society with excommunication. He went on to say, the fear of this spiritual power of the Antichrist is then only more than natural. It really needs the help of prayers on the part of the entire diocese. And not only that, Jesse, he says of the entire church. Jesse, I just want to say one thing about Benedict XVI, and then we'll continue here, because Bishop Athanasius has something to say also about this. I just feel like I have to tell you that Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, came to my aid. Yeah, Terry Barber. Yeah, here's what happened, Jesse. And this is what happens in life. He was the prefect for the Doctrine of the Faith, and there was a bishop here in Los Angeles, God rest his soul, he died of AIDS. Does that tell you something? Yeah. Mm. He was a bishop with scandal.
He was pretty orthodox, I guess.
Yeah, no, he's just the opposite. He was a modernist, Jess. And he's,
I'm joking.
I know you are, but I have to say that for those who don't know, you're joking. And so here's what happened. He gave a talk to us in 1986 telling us that Humanae Vitae, the birth control, will be okayed. We'll have women priests by the year 2000. And he undermined it, all the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. I recorded it. I took the transcripts. I sent it through Father Fessio to Rome to Cardinal Ratzinger. And I got that bishop in trouble. He had to recant on his position. Not only did he recant, Jesse, he called me at home and said, Terry, this is Bishop such and such. I think you misunderstood me. I said, no, I didn't. You said this. I got it on tape. Well, what I wanted to say is this, and I have to correct that, so I'm going to make a public statement to you that what I did was wrong. I said, oh, good. Well, thank you. But you see, here's my point. We need more men like that in the church who are going to hold people accountable. So when they teach heresy, it doesn't get like the Jesuits right now. I'll be honest with you. We need someone like that right now to put the Father Martins and the rest of them intact to say, no, you're not teaching Catholic teachings. So I just want...
Yeah, you were the pioneer of all this, but there's a lot of people doing it now.
No.
I'm glad.
We have to speak
Michael
up.
Michael Forrest does this every day.
Yep.
LifeSite News.
Yep.
There's a
speak
lot of people.
And charity.
You got a lot of people started in holding people accountable.
Accountable. I'm accountable. Jesse, here's the bottom line. This article, I hope and pray that you're right, that Pope Benedict Emeritus is going to tell it all because, you know, according to Bishop Athanasius Schneider, one of his friends, okay, and he's German, you know, they know each other. Matter of fact, guess who made Bishop Athanasius Schneider a bishop? It was Pope Benedict, Jess.
Wow.
Because you know what? I knew the insights on that. He was very impressed with Athanasius. So there's another good thing.
Good choice.
So what did Bishop Athanasius say about Freemasonry? Yeah. Go ahead.
It says here in the article, Bishop Schneider described the characteristics of Freemasonry based on much scholarly resources.
Yeah.
He says, Freemasonry is the perfect anti-church.
That's right.
Where all the theological and moral foundations of the Catholic Church are turned into their opposite. And again, I'm going to say the person that was in charge of the liturgy at Vatican II, Robert Moynihan wrote a whole article on him. He says he was a Freemason.
That's right.
Annabelle Bonini.
Yep.
And there's other people that are carrying
on
other people A Freemason, Bishop Schneider says, a Freemason told a sister in a private talk the following.
Check this out.
Oh, you know what we Freemasons are, in fact? We are the anti-church. I mean,
there
this is what Maximilian Kolbe was warning us about, Terry.
Yes.
And according to Bishop Schneider, Freemasonry also promoted the so-called sexual revolution in 68, there in Europe.
Wow.
We're having the same problems over here in this side of the pond.
Yep.
And he further expounded on this topic. Bishop Schneider states that Freemasons were crucial in the promotion of abortion, same-sex marriage, and euthanasia in France. Bishop Schneider also points out that in this parish newspaper that was published, a comprehensive dossier about Freemasonry, and let the top Freemason members speak in its newspaper forum, one of the Freemasonic officials openly stated that the laws about legalization of abortion, the so-called same-sex marriage or marriage for all, and of the euthanasia were prepared in the idealistic Freemasonic laboratories, and that they were then, with the help of lobbying and of their members in parliament and in government, pushed through the legislation. Having heard this, Terry, I have no doubt that our country, the political class, I'm sure it is full of Freemasons because again, they're the anti-church. And everything that we promote that is good, beautiful, and true, they want to promote the opposite. And I think the Masons are in high places in our political system right now.
Of course. Of course. And we're feeling the effects of that right now, Jesse. And again, my story about Cardinal Ratzinger, it's just that we have to stand up for the truth. And when, as I always say, when good people... You know, well, I'll just quote again, Pope St. Felix III in 475, not to oppose error is to approve it, not to defend truth is to suppress it, and indeed to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less the sin than to encourage them. And Freemasonry is evil, Jesse. The devil has taken Freemasonry And they do everything upside down, just the reversal of what we're doing. And so Freemasonry needs to be stopped. And again, if we remember back in the 80s, there was a whole dialogue going on about Freemasonry in Germany. And that's when Pope Benedict the 16th, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, got the approval from Pope John Paul II to say that Freemasonry is still at odds with the Catholic faith. I think it was 1983 or 84 that took place. And because the Nicota Canon Law, Jesse, you know, the new code had some interesting things that weren't put in this year, you know, that code. And one of them was...
It was watered down.
It was watered down. It should have been there to make it clear that Freemasonry is opposed to the Catholic faith. So it had to be repeated in the mid-80s because there were many... Jesse, are you ready for this? You know this. There were Catholic priests that were members of the Freemasonry. Yeah. That's a fact.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That's a fact.
And I'll tell you... Tim Gordon, who wrote a book,
Good book.
I forget the title, about Rome.
Google his name, you'll get it.
Yeah, it's a book that talks about that the Roman Catholic Church, our principles of governing is what America needs. In that book, he says that 9 of the 56 founding fathers were Masons.
That's right.
And he says that the most important issue to the Freemasons, the separation of church and state, he said that's a Masonic principle.
Yep.
That's not a Catholic principle. And to show you how diabolical Freemasonry is, the top exorcist in this country, Father Chad Ripperger, if not the top exorcist in the world, I'm looking at a prayer that he has. When he does exorcisms, I have it in front of his book. When somebody is possessed through Freemasonry, they have to renounce the demon of Freemasonry. And here's the prayer. He has it right here on page 123 of his book. He says the possessed person has to say, "I renounce and utterly forsake the great architect of the universe, who is revealed in this degree as Lucifer, and his false claim to be the universal fatherhood of God." So a possessed person who's possessed through Freemasonry, and he says that's common, they have to renounce the great architect. But and when they're a 33rd degree Mason, that's the highest form of Freemasonry, they're finally told, "Hey, by the way, you know who the great architect of the universe is that we've been praying to and worshiping as Masons all these years?" They say, "Yeah, who is it?" They wait till you're a 33rd degree. They say, "It's Lucifer." So Masons are worshiping the devil.
That's right.
They don't know it, though.
Nope.
It isn't revealed to them till they reach their final degree.
Yep.
And so this is why there's so many people possessed in Freemasonry, because they're worshiping the devil. They're calling out to the great architect, who the Freemasons say, "That's Lucifer, but we don't reveal it to you until you get to 33rd degree."
Makes sense to me. When we come back, what does Bishop Athanasius Snyder have to thank Pope Benedict for? When we come back, you'll hear about that and much, much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us: by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse, my engineer said, Terry, you forgot one part of that story with your bishop that you called him out with Benedict XVI when he was Cardinal Ratzinger. Yes, I did call him out because he was compromising on moral teachings of the church. He was teaching heresy. And so after the talk, after I recorded it, I said, excuse me, Bishop, would you say the same things if Pope John Paul II was sitting in the audience? And he said, no, I would never say all these things. I said, I didn't think so. Here's my point about modernism, Jesse. They're very careful how they say things and they don't want to get caught. And so that's the point that we as lay people have to, with charity and clarity, call these modernists like Father Martin, the Jesuit, out and say, Father, that's not consistent with the church. And there's one bishop who's calling everybody out in the sense of orthodoxy, and his name is Bishop Athanasius Schneider. And Jesse, he thanked Pope Benedict for saying homosexuality and abortion are inspired by an antichrist. What does he mean by that, Jess?
Again, I think, yeah. Terry, this is quite possible.
Yes, he thinks so.
Pope Benedict, yeah, and Bishop Athanasius Schneider, mm-hmm, these are successors of the apostles, remember.
Yeah, not us.
They may know something that we don't know.
Exactly.
That we are right now, that we are ripe for the Antichrist, or that the Antichrist may even be here.
Right.
That may be, again, just a dog whistle to the base. But Bishop Athanasius Schneider,
yep,
he's very thankful for Pope Benedict's moral clarity right now, as he's getting as he's getting closer to his particular judgment. And again, he's thanked the Pope for talking about that we have to resist the fear of the spiritual power of the Antichrist. In this, the article says, Bishop Schneider says, the promotion and justification of abortion and homosexuality or gender ideology contain in itself the spirit of a revolt against God, and in this sense it reveals to have the characteristic of the Antichrist. So this open revolt that we have in society,
yeah,
against the this cultural Marxism,
yeah,
against the Judeo-Christian Western civilization ethic of 2,000 years,
mm-hmm,
this is of the spirit of the Antichrist. That's what he's saying. And he goes on to say, Bishop Schneider further explains,
yes,
that he sees in the promotion of this pro-abortion and pro-homosexual agenda the operation of a kind of hidden one-world government.
I've been saying that for a while now,
just, yep, on my own police intuition.
Makes sense.
I'm just seeing where all this lockdown is going to this, you know.
Sure.
People are trying to see, the oligarchs are trying to see, how can we control the people? Ah, we can control them through a virus. So he says that there's a hidden agenda of this operation of a kind of hidden one-world government, which its ideological program is essentially atheist, anti-Christian, and even blasphemous.
Yep.
And let me just extrapolate on that. Imagine if they say, well, we're not going to have a full open society once again until everybody takes a vaccine that's going to be manufactured and funded by Bill Gates.
Oh, boy.
Okay?
Never.
And so, I mean, these are some of the things, of course, I'm extrapolating, but these are some of the things that could happen in the future. We'll see. Terry.
And Jesse, he also says the prelate sees the modern agenda as twofold. Number one, rejection first, the truth about Jesus Christ. Yep. But then also the rejection of the order of creation with regard to marriage and life. Boy, he nailed it. He also says the killing of innocent babies in the womb of their mothers and the turning upside down of the created order of two biological sexes and of marriage and family, Bishop Schneider goes on to say, are here it comes, Jesse. They're an expression of the attitude of the Antichrist, an attitude which is called in the Bible also revolt and the word apostasy. Jesse, did you hear that? Apostasy. Yep. The prelate adds the most characteristic attitude of the Antichrist, and here it comes, drum roll, is to put himself in the place of God. Isn't that what governments are doing right now, Jesse? China.
Yeah, communism and socialism,
yes.
they replace God with themselves.
That's it.
With the ones that are in power.
Yep.
And what Bishop Snyder is saying here is that the catechism says that there's four sins that scream to heaven for God's vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
And he's naming two of the four here. Two of the four are homosexual sodomy.
Number one.
And killing innocent people.
Yep.
Killing innocent babies.
That's two.
And the third one, by the way, which the government is violating around the world right now, is not letting people work. That's one of the people don't realize that that's one of the four sins that screams to God his vengeance upon the earth, is when you don't pay a laborer his just wage.
That's right.
Well, we're beyond that. We're not even letting the labor go to work right now.
Wow.
So right now we are violating at least three of the four worst sins in the Bible. The article says, Bishop Snyder says, the most characteristic attitude of the Antichrist is to put himself in the place of God.
That's right.
We're seeing that all over the world. Communism and socialism are the perfect example
yep.
of the spirit of Antichrist. And Pope quotes Pope Benedict, who speaks of the real challenges to the church and the papacy today. And he says that they do not mainly come from incidents as the Vatican Leaks affair, but rather from the worldwide dictatorship of seemingly humanistic ideology.
Yep.
Again, he's talking about abortion, homosexual marriage, in vitro fertilization as elements of this new ideology. And again, if you oppose this, you're
excommunicated.
Pope Benedict says you're excommunicated by society. Here's the money verse here,
yes.
or the money paragraph.
Yes.
It says, Bishop Snyder says, we might remember here that Sister Lucia,
that's right.
one of the three seers of Fatima, told Cardinal Carlo Caffara,
yep.
who was one of the faithful Orthodox cardinals that worked for John Paul II, in the 1980s, that the final battle between the Lord and the kingdom of Satan will be about marriage and the family.
There you go. Prophetic.
Do not be afraid, Our Lady of Fatima added,
yep.
because anyone who works for the sanctity of marriage and the family will always be fought and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue.
Is she nailed?
Our Lady then concluded, however, Our Lady has already crushed his head.
Genesis 3:15.
Exactly. So we're part of Team Jesus. We're part of Team Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she's known as in the Song of Solomon. She's known as the woman dressed in battle array with an army of soldiers. Those soldiers are the saints and angels in heaven. And I'm telling you, we want to make sure that we're part of Team Mary, because Team Mary is part of Team Jesus. And it's the Son, Domino, and Our Lady, His Mother, Domina, our Lord and Our Lady, who are going to usher in the final victory. Christ has already won on Calvary. I just want to remind
That's right.
you.
That's right.
His death, his passion, death, and resurrection has already given us objective redemption. Not
yep.
justification. We're not fully justified yet. It happens at baptism when you receive sanctifying grace. We're objectively redeemed through his passion, death, and resurrection. So the victory is there for us to claim it. We just have to claim it. How? By embracing sanctifying grace, by living in a state of grace.
Well said, Jesse. We've got also the former Pope Benedict complaining of attempts to silence him. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I want to inspire you with a story, because we all know that we're living in a crisis time, but back in 1274, there were great evils threatening the whole world and the church, kind of like us is right now. The church was assailed by fierce enemies within and without, like now, so great the danger that Pope Gregory X, who then reigned, called a council of bishops in Lyons to determine the best means of saving the society from the ruins that menaced it. Among the many means proposed the Pope and the bishops, they chose what considered the easiest and most efficacious way of all, the frequent resuscitation of the name of the holy name of Jesus, okay? He said, the Holy Father then begged the bishops of the world. I'm really telling this story because maybe we need to do this again. The power of the name of Jesus. The Holy Father then begged the bishops of the world, their priests, to call in the name of Jesus and to urge people to place all their confidence in his all-powerful name. Repeating it consistently with boundless trust, the Pope entrusted the Dominican fathers, especially with this glorious task of preaching the wonders of the Holy Name in every country. At work, they accomplished it with unbounding zeal. Maybe we need to do that again. The Franciscan brothers also went with that. Every saints did that. The effort were crowded with success so that the enemies of the church were overthrown, the dangers that threatened society disappeared, and peace again was reigning supreme. This is the most important lesson for us today because in the days we're living in, dreadful sufferings are crushing many countries and still greater evils threaten all others. No government, Jesse, as you know, the governments stem strong and wise enough to stem this awful torrent of evils. There is but one remedy, and that is prayer. So folks, let's pray. Every Christian must turn to God and ask him, have mercy on us. The easiest of all prayers we have, the name of Jesus. Everyone, without exception, can invoke this name hundreds of times a day, Jesse. Wow! Not only for his own intention, but also to ask God to deliver the world from the impending ruin. We can do that again. It's amazing that one person who prays can save his country and save society. We read in the Holy Scriptures how Moses saved his by the prayer and the people of Israel from destruction. Judith saved a woman, saved her city and her people from the rulers were in despair and about to surrender themselves to their enemies. Everybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Yep, 10 people. Over and over again, we read of the kings, the emperors, statesmen, famous military commanders who placed all their trust in prayer, thus worked wonders. If prayers of one man can do so much, what will not the prayers of many do? The name of Jesus is the shortest, the easiest, and most powerful name of prayer. Everyone can say it, even in the midst of our daily work. God cannot refuse to hear it. Let us invoke the name of Jesus, asking him to save us from the calamities that threaten us today. We can learn something from our brothers and sisters almost 1,000 years ago, Jess.
Yeah. Unfortunately, too bad a lot of people use the name of Jesus
In a bad way.
Yeah. That's why instead of telling people just to say the name of Jesus, because a lot of people say it blasphemously at the end of a joke, of a joke, I prefer to tell Catholics what St. Faustina says. Say throughout the day, be specific,
yep.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Yeah, that's
that way
one.
You're using it piously and reverence. Because if you just say the name of Jesus, some people just say it flippantly. And they don't say it respectfully. They don't say it with honor.
Yep.
And so I would say we have to follow a St. Faustina's prescription. Say throughout the day, Jesus, I trust in you. You have to add the predicate to it. I trust in
you. I agree. Beautiful, beautifully said. Jesus, I trust in you. Up next, Pope Benedict's going to talk a little bit about people trying to silence him. I remember that. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Yep, former Pope Benedict complains of attempts to silence him, of course, if he's talking about Freemasonry.
Absolutely.
And St. Maximilian Kolbe told us that there are Masons in Rome. He said it back then almost 100 years ago.
That's right.
Taylor Marshall documents that in his new book, Infiltration, as well. The article says, and notice the way they brand him. In this, it's a secular article.
Mm-hmm.
It says traditionalist former Pope Benedict. Okay? notice what they have to throw in there. Okay, because I grabbed this from Yahoo.com.
Right.
So they have to add their little adjective there. Traditionalist. No, he's a regular Catholic. He believes in the Catholic faith. It says former Pope Benedict XVI accuses opponents of wanting to silence him while associating gay marriage with the Antichrist and attacking humanist ideologies in a new authorized biography published Monday in Germany. The 93-year-old, whose original name is Joseph Ratzinger, claims in Pope Benedict XVI a life that he has fallen victim to a malignant distortion of reality in reactions to his interventions in theological debates. The spectacle of reactions coming from German theology is so misguided and ill-willed that I would prefer not to speak of it. And the former pope, who dramatically resigned in 2013, was especially criticized for a 2018 text that was seen as critical of the Jewish faith. Terry, the media hated him. A lot of the bishops, the liberals, modernists completely hated him.
Yeah.
And he says, I would rather not analyze the actual reasons why people want to silence my voice. He's not contentious. He doesn't like to argue.
No, he's not that personality.
That's not his. He's a teacher. He's a professor.
Yeah.
But I hope in this new book, I hope it's a tell-all book because we need somebody like with his gravitas to tell it like it is.
Absolutely. And Jesse, you remember on YouTube when Pope Benedict visited Germany, the German bishops wouldn't even put their hand out to shake the Pope's hand. Okay, you remember that, don't you, Jess? I do.
Their back on him.
He yes,
got a helicopter.
Total disrespect.
With the German prime minister, I think.
Yep.
And they're walking down, and you have the cardinals and bishops of Germany,
yep,
like on two sides, making a walkway in between, as both of them are walking, yep, out of the helicopter to shake hands with the German bishops and cardinals. The majority of the bishops and cardinals, the German, looked at Pope Benedict, and they turned around.
That's it.
And gave him their back. When he tried to shake their hand.
It's on YouTube. And don't forget, I remember when Pope Benedict first became the Pope, and my friends in Rome that I have contacts with told me that they Pope Benedict wanted to publish something, and then they'd lose it. They wouldn't get it done. They were really causing a lot of havoc for him because they were so upset. I'll never forget the day when he became the Pope in 2005. Jesse and I were just finishing up a show, and it was in the back of my yard when we were doing Catholic radio, and we were so joyful, throwing our hands up. Oh, praise God! Benedict's the Pope. Ratzinger's the Pope, and I'll just never forget when he first became Pope. That Rome, the people working there, they didn't want to cooperate with him. So, here's my take, Jesse. I'll be honest with you. I think that after 8 years, The Pope was there. He was not getting any kind of cooperation. They were making life miserable for him. His personality is not like you or I, okay? We duke it out. I think he said, you know, I had enough. I gotta step down. Maybe I'm wrong, Jesse, but that's how I see it with his personality.
Yeah, he says that the Pope Benedict XVI says the real threat to the church is in the global dictatorship
yep.
of purportedly humanist ideologies. And I'm telling you, the one that I think that we're all pointing to
yeah.
is Freemasons.
That's right.
Goes Freemasons, back, yeah. they're in league with communists.
Yep.
They're in league with the socialists. And Freemasons, I'll tell you why they're so evil. A lot of people say, don't they do good works? What about the Shriners? You know, they want you to look at their right hand, but they don't want you to look at their left hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, what if Freemasons believe about Jesus? I'm looking at one of their encyclopedias. I went to a Freemasonic encyclopedia on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
They say that, guess what? Jesus is only a man. Jesus is only a teacher. And they actually say he may be a legend. He may be the revival of an older legend.
Give me a break.
What else do the Freemasons teach about light? Do they say that Jesus is the source of light? They say, nope. The source of light in the world is masonry.
That's right.
The Masons, we give light to the uninitiated. That's the non-Masons. So they say that if you're a non-Mason, you are in darkness, and Masons call themselves sons of the light. Well, guess what? The New Testament says that those that follow Jesus are the sons of the light, and they say that Jesus is the true light, the New Testament. The Masons say, nope, it's not Jesus, it's us. Masons also teach that the devil does not exist.
That's right.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
They teach that the devil was created by human imagination.
I know Jesuits that say that. Sorry,
well,
Jesse.
That's Masonic.
Say that.
They got that from their Masonic teachers.
Yeah.
They say that there are no demonic hostile forces, yeah. of course, opposed to what the Bible says,
right.
that Satan does exist. Masons also reject the notion that God has wrath, that God punishes sin.
Right.
They don't believe that God has any wrath. They disbelieve in this. They said this is an erroneous doctrine that's made up by men that are intolerant. Masons also don't believe, by the way, that hell is eternal. They say hell is temporary.
Yeah.
Hell is temporary. It's a temporary torment for souls.
They're deceiving people.
And Freemasonry also teach that the Bible's full of errors. I wonder where the modernists got that, bit of propaganda. They got it from the Masons.
Right.
The Freemasons, they also teach that the whole creation story is a myth. It's a preposterous, monstrous absurdity.
Yep.
And again, this is why, now you know why we say that they're diabolical. They reject every single cardinal issue of the Catholic faith that's divinely revealed. And again, this is why Freemasonry is completely incompatible with the Catholic faith. And as Catholics, this is why, again, Father Ripperger says that many, many clients of his make it all the way to his institute for exorcism. Why? Because they were in some way, shape, or involved with Freemasonry, or a family member
yeah.
Was a Mason, and they brought this curse down the family line. Terry?
Jesse, I just want to say something about this. This is evil. We got that. We know it. But we also have the solution, and that's in name of Jesus Christ, the God-man, and that we live our Catholic faith with these five stones. But before I give the five stones, I just want to throw this in. And it came in yesterday that the Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is hospitalized with an infection again, 87 years old. My point is, this is why getting Jesse Romero's book, A Case for Trump, from his website is important, because who's going to pick the next, you know, Supreme Court justices, whoever's going to be our president the next 4 years. And President Trump made it clear that he's going to vote and bring somebody in that will overturn Roe versus Wade, and millions of babies will be saved from that. That's why it's critical that when we go to vote, we don't vote for the Democratic Party. And people say, you can't say that. You're a nonprofit. I am. But the Johnson Amendment is no longer being implemented. That was 1954. We can have our opinions, and our opinions are not. It's based on scripture.
President Trump wants us to speak.
Exactly. Whether you like him or not, say it. Well, I happen to think he's the right guy because he's giving us hope that we can overturn Roe versus Wade. And I'm going to say something. When I die, I want to say to Jesus, Jesus, I tried to save those little babies that were being murdered by my voting, by my preaching, by my life, by my actions, and I hope you'll do the same.
That's right. Hey, Catholics, we serve a 12-star general. That's the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the rosary is a weapon. It's
yep.
like a lance.
Yep.
Okay? Think about a crusader's lance. You know, you got the handle, you got the chain, you got the ball.
Yep.
And they swing that lance. That's what the rosary is. And we've got to slay error and slay demons and dragons with the Holy Rosary every single day. We've also got to unite our prayers with St. Michael the Archangel prayer. I hope you're praying the St. Michael the Archangel prayer every single day, morning and evening at the very bare minimum. And pray Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a prayer of protection from the diabolical, from pestilences and plague. Psalm 91. Also remember, call Jesus into your heart every day. How? Making spiritual communion.
That's right.
Making spiritual. First thing in the morning when you get up, before even you brush your teeth, call, make the sign of the cross and call on the name of Jesus through spiritual communion. And before you go to bed at night, after you do your night prayers, and after you've done your Holy Rosary, after you've done your Divine Mercy throughout the day, make sure that in your night prayers, you are asking God, Lord, let me examine my conscience and make a perfect act of contrition. Give me the grace to make a perfect act of contrition. It's almost impossible, but just ask for the grace.
That's right.
And do an act of contrition every single night, that God knows your heart, that at the very least, you're confessing your venial sins to God. Terry?
Jesse, I got a hat here. It says, make America holy again. One of our friends here going to confession at our chapel here gave me that hat. He's spot on. Also, I want to remind everybody, if you're in Southern California, Saturday at 11 a.m. to 1, I've got a priest here hearing confessions. You need to come, get your soul, get in the box. You know that old story. My point is this. Confession is good for the soul. And right now, people haven't been able to go. So we've made the circumstances so that you can come to our chapel to have a confession. So come from this Saturday from 11 in the morning to 1 o'clock. And if it's necessary, he'll stay later. But remember what Our Lady of Fatima said. Jesse was talking about prayers. I say, Our Lady said this. Souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. We can do that. You could do that. And remember what Our Lady also said, Jess, that more souls are going to hell because of sins of the flesh. Mm. Well, with this virus going on, people are at home. A lot of pornography rises. The rates are going up, 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 up. Well, this is a time right now for us to really deepen our prayer life, because the world right now is acting like what Benedict just said. They're replacing God with the government. And that's not right. And we have to stand up for Jesus, because he's brought you into this world at this moment of history, not 1,000 years ago, but right now, to do a job that he hasn't given anybody else to do. And so I want to encourage our listeners to pray, fast, and give alms, and also pray for our leaders in our church, that they will come out and support us at the sacraments of Mass and Holy Communion.
Amen.
Jesse.
Hey, Christ conquers, yep. Christ reigns, Christ commands. Christus vinci, Christus yep. reina, Christus emperat.
Yep.
Let that acclamation be burned in your heart that Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Jesse there, Romero.
We're out.
We're out, buddy. But one more thing, brother. What state should we be living in, bro?
The state of Gracia.
Exactly. In the state we
or
shouldn't
in Latin,
be.
Yep. Spanish, Gracia. In Latin, Gracia. In English, grace.
I got a linguist here. How about in Arabic? Oh my gosh!
I don't know, Terry.
I know.
Good question. You
but
got
the,
me.
But the
but
state.
Don't live in the state of. Don't live in the state of peccatis mortalis.
Exactly.
Oh, that.
Exactly.
Peccatis mortalis. No, no, no.
No, no.
Don't live in the state of mortal sin. That's a bad state.
Thanks
that's worse
again.
Than living in. Hey, that's worse than living in New York.
Ah! Thanks again for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful. Up next, Matt Arnold. You can get the app. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and get our free app. God love you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness, O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.